You're listening to the Health Secrets Podcast, hosted by Jonathan Otto.
Thanks for listening to the Health Secrets Podcast. This is Jonathan Otto, and I have a message for you. I've spent the last decade learning about the effects of disease through focusing on well-being in every facet of life. Today, I bring you the latest discoveries, practices, resources, and health secrets based on my travels throughout the world. I've conducted interviews with experts, filming compelling stories of those who face health and wellness challenges and who want realistic solutions for healing, regenerating, and growing a healthy mind, body, and life. I want to share this valuable information, which may not be readily available to you without exhaustive research. Essentially, I've done that research for you. These episodes are created with you in mind, with the specific mission of bringing to you as much information as possible, whether mainstream or just surfacing through recent research, because I believe in the well-being of everyone. If you want to learn more, subscribe to this Health Secret podcast. Visit one of the many health and wellness platforms I've created as a resource for you, not only to improve the quality of your life, but for you to share with those you love or you know are suffering.
Ben Johnson, I actually have three medical degrees, which is way too many, an MD, a DO, and an NMD. And that's been quite a journey for a boy that couldn't sit in his seat in school. That's way too much education, but... Longevity, extension of life, and of course, we don't need an alive body if we don't have an alive mind, a healthy, alive mind. So a critical part of life extension is a healthy, vital, vivacious mind that's fully aware and fully active. So yes, Alzheimer's is part of that treatment. I also treat cancer patients. Interestingly enough, they are very similar paths, because longevity and getting us there, there's probably a 90% similarity between life extension and prevention of Alzheimer's and cancer treatment. It's just a matter of details and the difference. You know, the truth is we don't know all of the details about Alzheimer's. We thought it was tau formation and we thought it was beta amyloid. And now the question is, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Is the beta amyloid deposition the result of the disease process and the tau, or is it the primary incident? And it may be simply a reflection of the inflammatory process, of the process. So the truth is we don't know cause and effect yet. We know that beta amyloid shows up, but we know that there are people with healthy minds that have a lot of beta amyloid and tau on autopsy. What we've got to do is keep all the neuron connections, because each nerve fiber has a lot of different connections and cross connections, synapses. And when we lose those synapses, that's when we start to lose memory. And there's a lot of things involved in that process, from heavy metals to toxins to inflammation. So there's a lot involved in Alzheimer's. It's not a simple answer. It's a multifactorial disease. Atrophy of the brain is part of that process. And why is it atrophying? Is it simply a result of die off of cells and aging? Or is it a part of high glucose levels, because another name for Alzheimer's is diabetes type 3. And so we have to strongly consider the role that sugar plays and our high sugar diet. And let me define sugar for you. Sugar is bread, sugar is pasta, sugar is noodles, sugar is grains, oats, wheat, all of the grains. That includes corn, which of course includes corn chips. That includes potatoes and other starches, which of course includes potato chips. So if it's white or was white, essentially don't put it in your mouth unless it's cauliflower. And that's probably the healthy white thing that we can put in our mouth. Maybe a little jicama, but essentially we need to avoid grains and starches like the plague. And a menstrual, you know, there's some primary things, diet, and we'll cover that extensively in a minute, exercise, and then nutritionals, and you can separate those from your diet if you want, and then supplements and active aggressive medical treatment. Let's be very clear though, if you go on the internet, Alzheimer's, not preventable, irreversible, and all of that is simply not the truth. Alzheimer's is absolutely preventable. Alzheimer's is reversible up to stage 5. There's 7 stages of Alzheimer's. Even stage 6, we can hold the line and prevent progression. Stage 5, we can roll Alzheimer's back and regain some of that memory. So Alzheimer's is absolutely preventable and is to a significant degree reversible.
That's amazing. Tell us, how can we fix it?
Well, diet is your number one thing. Diet is critical. So we briefly mentioned that when we talked about it being another name as diabetes type 3. So avoiding sugar and sugar spikes. Sugar spikes cause Alzheimer's, sugar spikes cause diabetes, sugar spikes cause cancer. Many, you know, not singularly, but one of the factors. And so what is a sugar spike? A sugar spike is when we eat a certain substance and it spikes the blood sugar more than 20 points. So this is critical in my treatment of Alzheimer's patients and cancer patients and in preventing aging, everything that I do. So I'll actually tell my patients, go to the local pharmacy and get a blood sugar meter. Check your blood sugar, eat the bowl of whatever you're going to eat, quinoa or corn or potatoes or fruit or whatever. Set your timer for 20 minutes and check your blood sugar again. If your blood sugar went up over 20 points, you can't eat that. That's causing a sugar spike. Sugar spikes cause damage everywhere from the brain to the pancreas to our little bitty blood vessels, our capillaries, nerves, sugar feeding cancer cells. Sugar spikes are one of the unhealthiest things that we can do in life. Another critical element in diet is when not to eat, because we not only want to be eating the right things, but fasting is a lost art in America. All through the centuries, since the creation, we have fasted. It's been a major spiritual practice, but it all is also an extremely healthy practice. Fasting allows immune senescence to happen, and that's kind of hard to grasp, but when I stubbed my toe on the boardwalk when I was 5 years old and got a little bacteria in there, my immune system mounted a response against those bacteria. And ever since then, I've had immune cells sitting around waiting on that bacteria to show up again. So here's a bacteria and here's the immune system, and it comes in and it discovers that antigen, and then the rest of its life, it's going around looking for that one thing. And so if we don't ever incur that one thing again, then our immune system is just inactive. It's on the, if you want to use a athletic metaphor, they're on the sidelines. They're in the dugout. They're on the bench. They're out of the game. They're not out there playing. They're not active. And so fasting allows natural immune senescence in a healthy way, because it allows your body to purge itself of some of those old cells. So probably upwards of 90% of our immune system is sitting on the sideline waiting for that one thing to show back up that we were exposed to when we were 1 year old or 5 years old or 10 years old. And if it's never going to show up again, then it's just that part of our immune system is not functioning. So it allows the purging of some of those old cells, and then your immune system creates new vibrant stem cells that haven't identified anything, and now they're looking for that new cancer cell or that new fungus or virus, and they can react to it. So fasting is a health practice. It's not just a spiritual practice, which I encourage that too. but it's an amazing health practice. So what does that look like on a daily basis? We should be fasting for 16 to 18 hours without food. On a monthly basis, a three-day fast, water only, and you say, oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Diabetics can do it, and anyone can do this. You have to set your mind to it and be firmly intentional. Water only fast, preferably 72 hours, but no less than 48 hours. And again, lots of fluid because you're purging things and you want to have a good washout. So fasting is very important for keeping a healthy mind, keeping a healthy body. And we talked about elimination of starches and grains. Mediterranean diet, you know, we've always wondered how the French, the Italians, the Greeks could drink like fish and smoke like fiends and have less cardiac disease than we could. Well, they're eating a healthy diet. They're eating fresh greens or lots of olive oil. They're eating fish and not so many red meats. They're eating a lot of healthy things, peas, you know, they're having nuts, they're doing healthy food. So look up a Mediterranean diet, and that's really where we should be focused as far as diet. The fresher the food, the better. So you want fresh food, you want organic for sure. You don't want any artificial chemicals or fertilizers or pesticides. And absolutely no GMOs. GMOs are pesticides that have been incorporated into the food to kill animals, preferably insects, but you're an animal in that sense on a physiological basis. So you're taking these toxins that are made to kill animals into your body and they're damaging you. So GMOs are absolute non-starters. Avoid those like the plague also. So Mediterranean diet, no GMOs, organic. If you can't afford organic, at least bring your food home and wash it off in the sink in hydrogen peroxide to kind of decontaminate the pesticides and chemicals and that type of chemical, that residue that might be on them. Hydration is huge. A great supplement in that line, fish. Again, we're talking about the Mediterranean diet. You get the hydration is critical. People don't comprehend it. You know, first of all, you're washing out toxins nicely, but DNA, for DNA to happen all day long, our cells are making DNA. Well, DNA looks like a rubber band wad inside of a cell and inside of the nucleus and inside of the mitochondria. And it literally has to unfold and string out for it to be copied, to create new structure, to create animal, whatever the cell, the body is creating, the cell is creating from that DNA. And then after it gets translated, it wads back up. Well, it can't, if things are dehydrated and it's compressed in there, it can't untangle itself. And so it needs, liquid is the medium in which everything happens in the body. So it has to be unable to untangle. And then after, you know, the body's, it's small factories, cells are small factories, so after they manufacture their stuff, there's waste products. And we don't have a little blood vessel coming from every cell, so that the cell throws the trash right outside the door, which is not a good situation. But that's carried off by the lymph fluid. People don't understand what lymph fluid is. It's waste from cellular debris, and that gets carried back into the blood system and recirculates. So we need lots of fluid for inside of the cell, for outside of the cell to dispose of waste products. So hydration is critical, and you want to hydrate with healthy water. So that is absolutely not tap water. That's not water in plastic bottles, which is mostly tap water if you do the research. And now it's set in plastic for weeks or months with all the chemicals in plastic. So fresh water that's cleansed with activated charcoal and other substances, preferably right in your own home, and stored in glass. I use a glass bottle if I'm going outside or away traveling to put my fresh water in. Slightly alkaline, mineralized, critical. If you're going to have reverse osmosis water, you have to have remineralization on there because the life of the water is minerals. That's how everything works inside our body is minerals. Minerals. Muscles can't work without minerals electric lights, the nerves can't work without minerals. We can't even make adrenaline or cortisol or mineralocorticoids, any of those without minerals. So minerals is a critical element. So we've got to have all of those things. Healthy fats, again, I briefly mentioned EPA and DHA and fish. Avocados are a great source of healthy oil. I personally drink 3 to 4 ounces of extra virgin olive oil a day. In the afternoon, when I start getting a little brain fog, I will take extra virgin coconut oil because it is brain food. You can feed your brain directly. Your brain can burn those medium chain triglycerides. So there's healthy fats are critical. We've been told to stay away from fat, and that is deadly. Fats are not only essential for life, they are primary fuel sources, and there couldn't be anything healthier than healthy fats. Now, the fats that they've been cooking our food in, the can't use any brand names, so the things that we cooked our fried chicken in for 100 years, we can't use those. We have to have healthy, vital, fresh oils to cook in, to eat on our salads. So no artificial oils. What am I trying to think of here? What's the trans fats? There we go. So again, the plague, trans fats. We must avoid trans fats at all costs because it's part of the structure. Our body's building new cells every day. And so whatever we have on board, it's building new cellular structure. And if all it has is broken material, it builds the cells out of that broken material, but then the cells leak, they aren't healthy. So those trans fats are the wrong structure. They don't fit together well. It's like having a tile roof and some of the tiles turned upside down, some of them sideways. It's not doing the job. And so we've got to have healthy fats to build a structure out of, and that's natural. Olive oil, avocados, coconut oil, almond oil, all those healthy oils that we should be eating fresh, raw, from nature. And just again to mention about carbs, we talked about carbs, what they were, what sugar was. And again, we've been on a carbohydrate craze in America because of ill advice from the medical establishment and the agricultural department encouraging us to eat those things, because that's what pushes forward from industry in America. So the diet looks like vegetables is number one, number two is vegetables, and number three is vegetables. And then we can talk about nuts, low glycemic fruits. Just go online and look at low glycemic index fruits. And so many fruits today are bred for sugar content because that's what we crave in America. We crave sugar, and that's what our taste buds have been raised on. So look at a glycemic index of fruits, and you can eat the low glycemic index fruits, but avoid the high glycemic index fruits. Avoid sweet, avoid corn sugar, avoid sugars of all sorts. That's what the low-carb diet looks like in a nutshell. No pun intended. Exercise is another one of those critical elements for the brain, for the body. There has never been a study done on exercise that showed it any detriment, and any study that I've ever read showed an improvement in whatever it was, from Alzheimer's to heart disease to atherosclerosis to diabetes. There is nothing that exercise doesn't help. So what does exercise look like? That looks like 30 minutes a day, preferably, absolutely not in less than 30 minutes, 3 times a week, of relatively intense exercise. For instance, there was a recent study that came out that men that had prostate cancer had 60% less progression if they had vigorous exercise for 30 minutes or more for 3 times a week. So vigor is part of that equation. So getting your heart rate up to 150 if you're under 50, 140 if you're over 60, 130 if you're 70. So that heart rate goal goes down as we age a little bit. But getting your heart rate up nicely sustained for a significant period of time, at least 30 minutes, at a bare minimum of three times a work is critical. I mentioned lymph a few minutes ago. People don't understand what lymph is. We have a vascular system. We have arteries and veins, and that's one continuous system. And then we have lymphatic vessels. Well, okay, what is that? Lymphatic vessels are actually open-ended, an open-ended vascular system. So it just kind of ends out there in the tissues, the muscles, the glands. And it has, and then it forms into vessels. It has no muscles in the wall. So lymph doesn't move unless you move. And remember what lymph is? Lymph is waste material. If you've ever been in a city with a garbage strike, it only takes about 3 days for everybody to cave in because it really becomes a health hazard very rapidly. And so our cells are throwing the garbage right outside the cells. It's being carried off by the lymph. You do not want that garbage right around the cells. It's toxic stuff. Nice medical term, stuff. And so that lymph only gets carried away with adequate amounts of hydration and movement, because it's the muscles, it's the organs. When you move, it squeezes the lymph. Now the lymph vessels do have valves to prevent it from backflowing in the tissues, but you've got to squeeze it up to the next valve. And up to, so motion is critical. Exercise is critical to health in every realm, from the brain to the heart to the organs to the muscles. And so exercise, absolutely cornerstone. So we've talked about diet, we've talked about exercise, we've talked about hydration. Supplements, let's go over some supplements because there are a number of supplements to help prevent aging of the brain and the body, keeping things fresh, alive, new. We talked about DHA, EPA, and that's essentially fish oil. If you're eating a fish or two every day, then you're probably getting enough. That presents its own set of problems because of all the mercury that we've dumped into the water. So if you're eating that much fish, you need to be taking EDTA or DMPS or DMSA to help remove heavy metals. If you have mercury amalgams, silver amalgams, which are over 50% mercury, your dentist didn't tell you that when he put them in. If you have those or have had those, then you have way too many heavy metals in your body. So you need to be actively removing those. And that doesn't happen over a week, a month, or a year, because our fat cells store those, and fat cell might live for 5 or 10 years. And then when it dies, it releases those toxins. So we're all the time getting a fresh dose of those, even if we took our amalgams out 20 years ago because of the storage problem. So we need to be taking heavy metal removing agents on an ongoing basis. And then as far as nutraceuticals, so I talked about DHA, EPA, and then there's benfotiamine, which is pretty amazing at removing heavy metals and as a longevity agent. EGCG, which is green tea extract, Alzheimer's prevention, cardio preventive, prevention of diabetes, a truly significant agent for anti-aging. Magnesium L-threonate, the form of magnesium that crosses the blood-brain barrier much easier because we are mostly magnesium deficient in our society. N-acetylcysteine, alpha-lipoic acid, amazing ACDC antioxidant. It can be water-soluble or fat-soluble. Most antioxidants are either fat or water-soluble, but this is a go-anywhere, do-anything antioxidant. PQQ, hormones, as we age, our hormones diminish. So testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, bioidentical only, and probably in lesser doses than we're frequently getting. So the body can do a lot with a little, always. Berberine, which is, I think, Oregon grapefruit, another one of those amazing basic substances. B vitamins, of course, we all need those in significant quantities. As we age, if you're over 50, if you're over 60, certainly, probably at the end of the meal, you should be taking betaine or hydrochloric acid, because we lose digestive, a lot of digestive ability, because we don't have enough acid in our stomach to help digest the protein. And we do need that temporarily. People don't understand why we have one of the reasons we have acid in the stomach is it's actually a waste product. As we metabolize all day long, we're making acid. So the stomach is actually an organ of excretion to dispose of excess acid waste, because it's making bicarbonate to buffer the acid in our systems all day. So if you make alkaline substance, you have to make an acid substance. So the pancreas makes alkali and puts it into the bloodstream, and then secretes the acid through the stomach. And so this is it's a dual organ, but it's also useful in the initial phase of digesting food. And then it has to go out. We've got to have a lot of alkalinity there. So other things, especially for Alzheimer's, like lion's mane, a great nutraceutical, huperzine A, which is an extract, Avena sativa, which is a wild oat extract, curcumin. So back to that anti-inflammatory thing. So many of the processes that cause Alzheimer's, that cause cancer, that cause plaque in the arteries. The problem with plaquing in the arteries, coronary arteries leading to heart attacks and carotid arteries leading to strokes, the problem has never been cholesterol. So lowering the cholesterol is the wrong thing. It's putting out the fire after the fire is lit. Let's stop the fire. So the fire is inflammation. So what we've got to do is stop inflammation. And then cholesterol, we need cholesterol. If you don't have enough cholesterol, your liver will literally make cholesterol. So cholesterol is not the problem. And by lowering your cholesterol too much, you can get aging of the brain, and you can cause your sex hormones to be lowered, because cholesterol is a primary building block, structural block for cells. So we do not want to lower cholesterol too much. What we want to do is stop inflammation. Your natural agents for doing that are curcumin and SAMe, capital S, capital A, capital M, small e, berberine that I've already mentioned. There's a number of great honokiol, there's a number of great agents for lowering inflammation naturally. And I take all of those every day, because inflammation is a key cause of disease and aging. Blueberry extract, and I eat wild blueberries most every day. Phosphatidylserine is an amazing substance to help prevent brain aging and Alzheimer's. Pregnenolone is another one of those key substances. Vinpocetin, ashwagandha, an Indian Ayurvedic herb, super, super important. Another thing that's not frequently talked about is the microbiome of the gut. Unfortunately, we frequently damage that. We damage it with antibiotics and drugs, killing off the microbiome. So antibiotics are a primary cause of cancer. We know, for instance, that women that have had 6 doses of antibiotic before their 18th birthday have a 3-fold increase in breast cancer. And just recently, there were some nice publications, because the nipples have their own microbiome. They have bacteria in them. And the antibiotics have changed that microbiome, and that changed microbiome in the breast from antibiotics is now being shown as a cause of breast cancer. We knew it statistically, but now we're understanding why. The microbiome of the bowel communicates with the brain all the time and gives it information. So we must have good bacteria in our bowel. If you want to think about it a different way, we are parasites. There's only about 10 trillion of our cells, and we have 100 trillion bacteria in us and on us. So we're a parasite on our bacteria. So we want to have the absolute healthiest microbiome of bacteria that we can possibly have if we're going to be using them for energy and power and creating different things that our body needs. And so restoring the gut biome is critically important. And truthfully, there aren't many good probiotics out there. Most of them are Lactobacillus and Bifidus, whereas there's over 1,000 different bacteria in our bowel. And so we want diversity of bowel bacteria there. So eating things without washing them to death, without cleaning them to death, go out and eat a little dirt, like you did when you were a kid, to help increase your gut biome. So we can be too clean. We can absolutely be too clean. So taking care of that gut biome. So I'm not against anything medical. I'm just against the wrong use. We pass out antibiotics like candy. It is not healthy for us. Antibiotics can and should be used at critical moments. If you have sepsis, if you have this overwhelming disease, if you have this methicillin, but we can use other things. We can use ozone, we can use hydrogen peroxide, we can use natural herbal agents that kill bacteria. Oregano, there's a lot of great herbs that help kill. We can use silver. There's many things that kill bacteria that we can't use because they're not FDA approved, but we can certainly use them at home. We can use them outside of the hospital. So antibiotics, okay, when we're critical, we absolutely have to have them, yes, but other times, randomly, doctors prescribe them for a cold. Well, we know that colds are viruses, and we know that antibiotics don't kill viruses. So there's kind of an insanity going on out there with our use of antibiotics, and they're very destructive. They cause a lot of disease. So, well, you know, how do we know, what do we do? Well, you know, if your mom or dad, or if Alzheimer's tends to run in your family, or if you've eaten tons of sugar over time, you know, it's coming. But if we want to look at testing, genetic testing, you want to look at APOE. And if you've got three, you're good. If you've got two, you're great, because it's actually anti-Alzheimer's. If you've got four, you're in trouble. So we can look at those markers genetically, and then other genetic things that we can look at. Imaging, MRI, and actually ultrasound is coming back into its own, as we can do a lot more things with ultrasound than what we used to do. We can do cognitive testing, the Wechsler memory scale, the revised one. So those are your tests to kind of look at. And there are more, of course, but we can do testing to look at that ahead of time. It is important to get those done, because Alzheimer's doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a year. It happens over 20 or 30 years. So get tested early, get tested every 4 or 5 years, because it is preventable. Alzheimer's is preventable. And it is even reversible up, certainly through stage 4, maybe stage 5. We can hold the line probably at stage 6. If you're stage 7, there's not much we can do.
How so, does someone know that if they're at risk of Alzheimer's?
Well, again, the family tree. If Aunt Betty or mom or dad had it, then you certainly want to look at it. Or if you have been a sugarholic over the years, you're a prime candidate before it, because again, it's diabetes type 3 is another synonym for Alzheimer's. So if you've been kind of a sugar addict, a dessert addict, lots of potatoes, lots of corn, lots of starches over the years, corn syrup, colas, death by cola, then you want to go ahead and look at those things, because you're a prime candidate, because you've been having all these sugar spikes over the years. So that's what testing looks like medically. Treatment, all the dietary things that I've discovered, but in the medically intervention that we can do, there is a type of ultrasound that we can use which can have dramatic benefits on reversal of tau plaque and Alzheimer's. There are certainly intravenous things that we can use. And then super cool things happening in the stem cell world. So much of the future of medicine is going to be stem cells. Some amazing things happening in the realm of stem cells. We've always known that that was a huge wave of the future for health and healing and longevity. But the technology is getting there now. We can now harvest your very own stem cells out of your body, not out of fat. We don't have to do the liposuction, not out of bones, literally out of your bloodstream, that have full telomere complements. So these cells aren't aged like you are. These are very young, youthful cells, your own stem cells, that we can capture, and then we can activate them with laser and certain frequencies. And now not only can we activate them, but we can place them. We can direct them where to go. So phenomenal advances in stem cells happening right now that are available to us today. I've seen significant with my therapies, from diet to exercise to nutritional to laser to stem, have significant reversal. A number of my clients are from Hollywood or stars or very important people that I can't talk about, but preserving their brain trust is critical to the nation, to have those minds around, to the movie industry, to different industries. But to have those brain trusts vital and vivacious into the future, we've got to have those. And we need yours, right? We need your brain working and working well. We need you healthy. We need your brain functioning. Aging, stopping aging, and I was recently spoke at the Carlisle Conference in Cambridge, and there were so many things that are coming 10 years out, 20 years out. And if you saw Dr. Aubrey Gray's TED Talk on aging and preventing aging, just a super fun TED Talk, you should watch it. But these things are coming 10 years down the road. As I looked at my audience, I said, many of us don't have 10 years to wait on these things. Aging can be prevented now. We can hold the line for about 10 years right now, so that when we get to 10 years from now and we have all these new amazing agents, we can use them. Nicotinamide riboside is here right now. Amazing anti-aging agent. All the other things that I mentioned, dietary supplements, phenomenal anti-aging agents. So you can go down to your nutrition shop, you can go online, you can order those today and start taking them today to slow down aging or stop aging, so that when those get here in 10 years, you will still have an active, healthy mind and body, and you can take advantage of those things. And the phenomenal things that are coming down the pike, and actually we have today with stem cells. So the future is bright. The future is amazing. We have many things available to us right now to use to prevent aging, to actually reverse aging to some degree. And the future, the sun is just dawning, just peeking over the horizon. And this is going to be a bright, brilliant day for stopping aging and preventing Alzheimer's, and for longevity and having a vivacious, lengthy, healthy life. Recently, one of my patients in her late 50s was experiencing some cognitive decline. She had noticed that she couldn't follow, having to take many more notes, and then pretty soon she was literally unable to work. We were able to reverse her cognitive decline using many of the techniques that I've just mentioned, and get her back to work, full-time back to work, instead of housebound, afraid that she would not find her way back home from the grocery store. A gentleman in his early 60s, big family history of cognitive decline, Alzheimer's. again, struggling. His wife wouldn't let him go out, wouldn't let him go to the grocery store by himself. So at least stage five Alzheimer's. He's back fully functioning, doesn't have to make lists anymore, finds his way back home from the grocery store just fine, and is helping remind her of things again. So she knows he's back because he's his old self reminding her to do things. And these are stories that happen every day. And we're seeing some new amazing things with the stem cells, because stem cells can not only all the things that we could do before were your cells at your age with short telomeres, your age cells. Now we can give you your cells the age that they were when you were newborn and active, so that they are creating new tissues, new interactions, full of life and full of that primal life force that babies have, that we lose as adults, we lose with aging. So we are getting to the point where we can recreate that life force, and that is an amazing thing. The reason I do what I do is for people. It's about caring for people. It's about helping people stay healthy. I was in my cancer clinic a number of years ago, and I had that moment, that epiphany. I was taking care of 20 or 30 patients at a time and helping them get over critical moments in their life. And I had the aha moment. What if I could help tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people stay well instead of trying to help a few get over their severe illness? And so that's what this is about, mostly about the healthy talk, how not to get there. And then certainly those that get there, I can still help them. We can reverse Alzheimer's. We can prevent Alzheimer's. So prevention is there, and if you need reversal, I'm here. So if you feel you're at risk of Alzheimer's, do the testing that I've gone over, the APOE, the MRI, the cognitive testing, and do the diet. We all need to be on that diet. I don't care whether you think you're getting Alzheimer's or not. That is the diet, the low carbohydrate, high fat diet. Critical that we're all on that, everyone to a single person. And then if you're in that, come for help and get that reversed. The sooner the better, because Alzheimer's is preventable. It is reversible up to stage five for sure. So you, if you or a loved one is at that stage five, four, five, six, where it's become obvious that you have Alzheimer's, aggressive early intervention now, the sooner the better, because that we can hold the line or reverse it, all according to what stage you're at. So there is hope. Alzheimer's is treatable. To a certain degree, it is reversible now. We read in the Bible about people living to 700 and 800 years old, the Methuselah factor, and certainly other cultures, there are people who were known to be quite ancient. I have zero doubt that in the next 20 years, we will be able to get to people to 120. If you believe Dr. Gray and others, way beyond that. But there's no reason that we shouldn't be able to get to 120 with good cognition. So it's about taking action now. You need to become responsible for your own health care. You are responsible for your body. You're responsible for your brain. No one is as interested in your health as you are. Do not turn your health care over to your doctor, your spouse, or anyone else, because there is no one can do it for you. This is a self deal. You've got to take action yourself. You must do these things. You're going to choose what goes in your mouth. You're going to choose what you drink. You're going to choose to avoid sugar. you're going to choose to take these supplements. You're going to avoid unhealthy things from physicians, like CTs, like antibiotics, like artificial hormones, the things that the medical community does to us that are very unhealthy, cause aging, cause cancer. And so take action. You are responsible for your health care, and only you can do this.
Thank you for listening. It's my sincere hope that you found this episode helpful. Find more information on topics that address autoimmune disease, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and dementia, anxiety, depression, and much more on the websites listed in the description below, so that we can all educate and raise people's awareness of the resources we need to heal, maintain wellness, and thrive. Until next time, be well, my friends, and share the health.